Islam in daily life. A true Muslim is required by Islam to believe in it firmly and sincerely and to practice it in his daily life. Mere belief which finds expression only in words is neither desirable nor beneficial. In fact, such a state of affairs, where words are not matched by deeds, is considered highly heinous, and it has been condemned by the Quran and the Prophet. The Quran, very conspicuously, mentions the doing of good deeds along with faith. One Quranic verse says, "We abase man to be lowest of the low, except such as believe and do righteous deeds." Another verse is more emphatic. It reads, "Any who believe in God and the Last Day and work righteousness, on them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve." On the contrary, the contradiction between faith and practice is decreed in strongest possible way, and those who suffer from it are called hypocrites, who are to be punished in the lowest part of hell. May Allah save us all from such a horrible place. Behind this insistence on putting in practice what one believes in lies the concept that Islamic belief, once accepted, embraces the whole of a man's life. In other words, a true Muslim follows Allah's will and pleasure in all that he does in life and does not allow his own desires or the dictates of un-Islamic forecasts to sway him from this straight path. This idea comes out very vividly in the following verse. "Verily, my prayers and my sacrifice and my life and my death are all for Allah." Whenever a Muslim recites in prayer to Allah to say, "Show us the right path, the path of those whom Thou hast blessed," he is invoking Allah's help in practicing Islamic belief in his daily life. The prayer's urgency and relevance to life become more apparent when we realize that it is a part of the chapter called the opening, which is recited by a Muslim several times in each prayer. Every moment of his life in this world is a battleground of conflict between the forces of good and the forces of evil, and a true Muslim believes that he cannot protect himself from the onslaught of evil and do virtuous deeds without the help and blessing of Allah. It is this idea of total and unconditional submission to Allah that lies behind the spirit of sacrifice which a true Muslim shows in carrying out life's daily transactions. This spirit of sacrifice enables him to lay down life in the way of Allah. The Apostle and those who believe with him strive and fight with their wealth and their persons. And it is the same spirit which enables him to prefer others over himself in satisfying daily needs of life and never refuses help to others. Indeed, we cannot conceive of an Islamic society without this element of sacrifice. It is a very essential manifestation of a society governed by the concept that Allah is the creator and owner of the universe and everything that is in it. To him belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. All obey his will. The creator of the heavens and the earth, and when he decrees a thing, he but says to it, "Be," and it is. The spirit of sacrifice on the part of a true Muslim comes out very clearly in the following tradition of the Prophet. The Prophet once said, "On the day of judgment, God will address a particular individual. O son of Adam, I was sick, but you did not attend on me. Bewildered, this individual will say, how is that possible? You are, after all, the supreme Lord of all the worlds and cannot fall sick. God will reply, do you not remember that so-and-so among my servants was ill and lying close to you, and you did not turn to him in sympathy? If you had but gone near him, you would have found me beside him. In like manner, God will address another individual. O son of Adam, I had asked of you a piece of bread, but you would not give it to me. The individual will submit, how is that possible? Could God feel hunger and need bread? God will reply, so-and-so among my servants had, in a moment of hunger, asked of you bread, and did you not refuse to give it to him? If you had given him food, you would have found me beside him. Similarly, God will turn to yet another and address him. O son of Adam, I was thirsty, and I asked of you a cup of water, but you did not give it to me. The individual will cry out, how is that possible? How can God feel thirsty? God will reply, so-and-so of my servants who was thirsty asked of you water, but you did not give it to him. If you had given it to him, you would surely have found me beside him. Here is another anecdote from the life of the Prophet and his companions, exemplifying the element of sacrifice. One day, Prophet Muhammad was seated among his companions when he asked, who among you hath begun the day by fasting? All kept silent except Abu Bakr, who replied, I. The Apostle inquired again, who among you hath fed the poor today? Again it was Abu Bakr who replied, I. The Prophet asked once more, who among you hath visited the sick today? It was Abu Bakr once more who answered, I. The Apostle said, these virtues will not come together in man, but securing him the key to paradise.
Islam in daily life.